We're at the Gartner Catalyst Conference in San Diego, talking with Kevin Sapp, VP of Strategy at Pulse Secure. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with us. Let's talk about securing access in the hybrid world. The old model of security was PCs and data center access through perimeter security. That's really no longer a valid model. What do you see in terms of maturation of access, authentication, and proof of regulatory compliance?
Yeah, so I think that the first thing is the recognition that the perimeter security model is busted. So instead of having a perimeter around the network, basically the applications are essentially what's being secured. So we're seeing kind of, if you will, perimeters around specific applications. And the perimeter security for those is kind of a lot of things. Again, it's related to access control, beginning at the application level. It's related to identity federation and authentication and authorization. Those are really the key tools to securing apps themselves.
Is the failure of perimeter security a matter of the bad guys getting better? Is it a matter of they were already on the inside as maybe disgruntled employees? Or were they invited in through the front door as contractors?
Yeah, so I think it's probably all of the above. Certainly attacks are getting more sophisticated. We're seeing a lot of nation-state types of attacks. Just the proliferation of tools for hackers is amazing, because what a lot of people don't really realize is that they think it's always kind of the expert hacker getting into these systems. But what really happens is the expert hackers write the tools that make the amateur hackers appear to be experts. So I think it's just the sheer number of people trying to get into these systems. And the fundamental flaw in perimeter security was that, you know, once you were allowed in, then it was sort of carte blanche. You had access to everything. And that's the problem, because you only really have to penetrate one area of the perimeter, and then you get into the network, and then you can access everything. And the conduits through which people access are front door, certainly through partners, right? That was the OPM case, where it was a contractor was basically hacked, and then that allowed the OPM breach to occur. And the inside job, you know, that's all sort of speculative. You know, a lot of security folks in the Target case talked about that. You have sort of an employee who is basically disgruntled or what have you, and that was effectively an inside job. So I think we can give examples for all of those.
So those are people who were on desktops or laptops. Now let's throw mobile into the mix. What does mobile mean in terms of more potential threat vectors?
Well, I think, you know, one thing it means is there's simply more devices coming into the network. You know, with sort of traditional end-user computing platforms, really Windows laptops, if you will, you know, there's been 20 years of security capabilities built up around that ecosystem. And we know when a Windows laptop connects in, we know about that device, we know it's secured according to the IT person's specification. But when it comes to mobile devices, it's sort of really all over the place. You know, you're essentially dependent on the platforms. Now, I will say that some platforms like Apple's iOS are probably much more secure right out of the gate than, say, Windows was out of the gate, you know, 15 years ago. But be that as it might, basically you have all of these different types of devices. You have more devices, you have more variety in devices, and each of those devices has a different security posture.
And certainly iOS is a closed ecosystem, whereas Android is more like the Wild West.
Yes, I think that's generally true. So there's certainly a lot more press around, issues around Android and its security, et cetera. You know, I think it's interesting. Fundamentally, Android's security model is very similar to the iOS security model. The problem really comes down to this fragmentation issue, where you have various handset vendors sort of doing their own things to differentiate on that platform. Not all of those guys implement the security model in a uniform way.
It's like Bill Gates used to say years ago, that Unix was 100 different things that can't talk to each other. Maybe Android still has a little bit of that going on.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think Android, again, it has some advantages because of kind of the open source nature of it from a security perspective, but I think the fragmentation is really hurtful for it in the enterprise.
Let's get back to the application side. What is the impact of software as a service on IT security? Shouldn't these people be better at security than the average IT department?
So that's a good question. I would say that in some cases, those organizations are very, very good at security, right? They have very robust security controls in place and all of the rest of it. You know, although many organizations are also good at security, but they're still breached. Again, the OPM case is excellent, right? Because the federal government has very strong security controls in place. They can still be breached. I think the problem really comes down to is the disparity in security posture of all these apps. So if you have SaaS app A, SaaS app B, SaaS app C, they're all at different phases in their life cycle. They all have a different security posture. They're all operated by different people. So the real challenge is that it's very difficult for IT to understand what their overall security posture is and where the weak link in the chain is.
What do you see in terms of migration? Let me throw an example at you. Going from an on-premises Exchange server dynamic to maybe Exchange and Office 365 in the cloud.
So that one in particular is a very large trend. I think that's sort of a macro issue where you do have lots of organizations migrating from on-prem Exchange to Office 365 and Exchange Online in particular. Microsoft is pushing people in this direction, so they actually want their customers to migrate off Exchange, particularly older Exchange deployments, to the newer model. It's more straightforward for Microsoft to support, right? And so basically it has benefits on both sides, on Microsoft's end, as well as kind of the customer's end. But I think we also see it in other places too. So content management, file storage, all of those things, that's a great example where people want to move away from file shares, which are traditionally fairly hard to manage anyway, and you have all these storage concerns, to basically very cheap cloud computing-based options where storage is cheap and somebody else can just operate that environment for you.
You've noted that identity is becoming the new IT perimeter. Can you define that briefly, what you mean by that?
Yeah, so before the perimeter was basically perimeter access or access to your network via perimeter was governed by firewalls, and that was a predominant technology in that. And then you had technologies like VPN or proxies that gave you kind of access in some secure manner. When you have SaaS apps, for example, or cloud infrastructure, it's not like you have your own firewall in front of these types of systems, right? You can't just throw a firewall in front of a SaaS app. And the way people are solving this access problem is through identity federation. They're basically saying, I have a centralized identity management platform. It knows about all of my users. And in there, I can specify who has access to what. So you can sort of configure many of these SaaS systems that users should only ever be able to log in if they've done so through their identity management system. So that gives you this sort of layer of protection in a very abstract way for your SaaS apps.
But it's not just a matter of the user, it's also the device. Is it more important to identify and authenticate the device that's coming in before we try to do that to the user?
So I think that this is where identity management systems fall short. While they know about user credentials and who has access to what, they really don't have much in the way of device context. And in fact, they can't even really tell you that it's a real person trying to access these systems, which is where most of these attacks come from, where, you know, a credential was phished and it was basically, somebody's running an attack from a remote machine with that credential. You know, I think identity management systems are susceptible to that type of attack. So, yes, that's why it's critical to first identify the machine from which a request is originated and then identify the user as well.
When an IT department starts rolling out a variety of SaaS applications, how do they deal with the varying security methods and standards that each one of those providers probably has in place?
Yeah, I think there are a few things sort of coming online. So one is that, you know, many mature organizations try to gate access to all of these SaaS services through something like an identity management system. There are sort of standards emerging around what it means to be secure for a SaaS vendor. So, for example, SOC 2 Type 2 is a certification or validation that, you know, many of these organizations, they're audited for that, and then they have a certificate that they can then show to their customers. So there's some standards emerging. But I think one of the areas where this really falls short is on the governance side. So it is very difficult for IT to have visibility into really the security posture of each of these types of systems. So this notion of governance really is kind of missing right now, and that's a big problem currently for IT.
So with all of that playing together, does this lead us to something that's essentially a new security stack?
Yes, I believe so. I think, again, you know, we need to move away from the network perimeter security model. Security needs to be much more application-centric. Security needs to factor in users and devices and networks and apps and all these types of things. And the security stack that's emerging has multiple components and is really sort of a cross-functional beast, if you will. It includes identity management. It includes mobility management or some other type of end-user computing security capabilities. It includes advanced access control policies and enforcement as well. That last piece about access control, I think that right now is sort of the new frontier. We have identity management systems. We have mobility management. Now, how do we really bind these two things together? That's the next problem.
So let me go out on a limb for a second. There are people out there who say breaking in is inevitable. It's going to happen. So why spend zillions on security? Let's drop spending on security to essentially zero, because we know the bad guys are coming in. Simply render the data unusable.
Well, so, you know, I think that security has been moving to a model for actually the last several years that's more risk-based. It's almost an actuarial model. It's like, why do we buy insurance, right? Why do you need flood insurance or car insurance or whatever? Basically, you're trying to reduce risk and reduce the attack surface. So I think the notion of getting rid of security altogether is pretty foolish. I do think that the way we think about security, though, is appropriate. Instead of thinking about it in a binary way, we're either secure or not, really think about more of a risk mitigation strategy, right? How do I reduce the risk that my organization is breached? And if they are breached, how do I reduce the risk that the data is highly sensitive, as an example? And I think that lets us then focus and target our spend.
Where does PulseSecure stand on all of this? From the PulseSecure perspective, what's the one key thing that CIOs, developers, and architects should look at or do right now, today?
So again, I think one of the really big focus areas for us is both users and devices. So just sort of, you know, PulseSecure really talks about your overall IT environment. So, you know, we cover all of the end-user computing platforms, Android, iOS, Windows, Mac, what have you. We're interested in securing your entire environment from top to bottom. So network access like LAN or Wi-Fi, remote access to your data center, and your cloud and SaaS apps. So I think, you know, again, I gave some recommendations earlier today around really to think holistically about the problem. And that's basically what PulseSecure does. We're very focused on the overall security problem and specifically these issues related to access in the first place, because most of the breaches boil down to that. Somebody got access that shouldn't have had access, and we want to limit that problem.
We've been talking with Kevin Sapp, Vice President of Strategy at PulseSecure. Kevin, thank you very much.
Thank you.